since then, quite a lot has happened. Quite a lot has happened, that is to say, in the three intervening chapters. At the beginning of chapter 6, entitled The Inconceivable Liberation or Inconceivable Emancipation, Shariputra has a problem. You may recollect that Vimalakirti, by his magical power, has made his house with its furniture and all his attendants disappear, so that all that can be seen is Vimalakirti himself lying on his couch. But quite a number, in fact an immense number, of bodhisattvas and arahats have accompanied Manjushri on his visit to Vimalakirti. And amongst them is our friend Shariputra. So Shariputra cannot help wondering where they are all going to sit, all these thousands of arahats and thousands of bodhisattvas. He just can't help wondering, apparently, where they are all going to sit. After all, perhaps he is thinking, bodhisattvas and arahats shouldn't remain standing while Vimalakirti is lying on his couch, even though he is sick. Guests, in any case, according to ancient Indian etiquette, Buddhist etiquette, shouldn't be kept standing. Now, Vimalakirti, of course, knows what Shariputra is thinking. He has this uncomfortable faculty. He's telepathic. So, knowing what Shariputra is thinking, he puts to him quite a pointed question. He says, Reverend Shariputra, did you come here for the sake of the Dharma, or did you come here for the sake of a chair? Well, you can probably imagine Shariputra's feelings. Shariputra very humbly replies, I came for the sake of the Dharma, not for the sake of a chair. And Vimalakirti then continues, saying, Reverend Shariputra, he who is interested in the Dharma is not interested even in his own body, much less in a chair. And he goes on in this way, in this vein, for several paragraphs. There's no need for us to follow him, because his initial question gives us quite enough to think about. Did you come here for the sake of the Dharma, or did you come here for the sake of a chair? I mean, after all, just use your imaginations. Just consider the situation. Here is this great assembly of arahats and bodhisattvas. Here is the wise elder Vimalakirti. Here is Manjushri, the bodhisattva of wisdom himself. They've just had a discussion. Vimalakirti and Manjushri have just had a discussion of tremendous spiritual significance. Everybody has been highly delighted by it. Everybody has been greatly uplifted in their hearts. Nobody knows what's going to happen next, but everybody is wondering what's going to happen next. But what does Shariputra do? He starts wondering about where everybody is going to sit. He starts worrying about chairs. So what does this little incident illustrate? What does it warn us against? It warns us against the danger of getting sidetracked. We get sidetracked due to the operation of the gravitational pull. And it's no use our laughing or even smiling at poor old Shariputra. We have to apply the warning to ourselves. Because what happens? We go along, say, to a meditation class at the center. We go along to a lecture on the Dharma. We even go away on retreat, perhaps in the depths of the countryside. And perhaps we get quite deeply immersed in the meditation, immersed in the lecture, immersed in the retreat experience. But then, what happens? What happens is that our attention wanders. We get sidetracked. We start wondering when the tea and biscuits are going to appear. Or we start wondering whether a certain attractive person that we saw last week is going to be there again. Or we start wondering, especially if it's a cold day, whether the central heating is going to be turned up. So, we might well ask ourselves the same sort of question that Vimalakirti asked Shariputra. Did you come for the sake of the Dharma or for the sake of the tea and biscuits? Did you come for the sake of the Dharma or for the sake of that attractive person? Did you come for the sake of the Dharma or for the sake of the central heating? There's nothing easier than to get sidetracked in this sort of way. There's nothing easier than to succumb to the operation of the gravitational pull. There's a lot more that could be said on this particular subject, but sidetracking is not our theme tonight. And in any case, I don't want to get sidetracked. So, let's pass on to what happens next. Happens next, of course, in the sutra, in the text. What happens next is that there's a great display of magical power. Shariputra has been worrying about chairs. So, all right, Vimalakirti gives him chairs. He gives him 3,200,000 of them. We're in thought. Not chairs, but thrones, in fact. And he brings them, by his magical power, from a distant borderland in the eastern direction. And all these thrones, these 3,200,000 thrones, fit into his house without crowding. The house, in fact, seems to enlarge itself accordingly. And this gives Vimalakirti the opportunity of explaining the inconceivable liberation or inconceivable emancipation. The Bodhisattva, he says, who lives in this emancipation, thoroughly realizes the relativity of space and the relativity of time. He can put Mount Sumeru into a mustard seed without making the one smaller or the other bigger. He can make a week seem like an age and an age like a week. He has the power, the magical power of transforming anyone into anyone and anything into anything. In chapter 7, which is entitled simply The Goddess, Shariputra is again in trouble. First of all, though, Vimalakirti answers various questions put by Manjushri, and there's another vigorous dialectical exchange between them. And at this point, a certain goddess appears. This goddess, we're told, lives in Vimalakirti's house. And she's so delighted with the teaching that she's been hearing that she shows the whole assembly, the arahats, bodhisattvas, everybody, with flowers. And these flowers, strange to relate, do not stick to the bodies of the bodhisattvas, but they do stick to the bodies of the arahats. And of course, Shariputra is an arahat. And Shariputra is greatly embarrassed by this fact, by this circumstance, and he tries unsuccessfully to brush off the flowers that have fallen on him, because after all, he is a monk, and a monk is not supposed to wear flowers. Well, a little later on, Shariputra becomes still more embarrassed, because quite suddenly he undergoes a change of sex. First of all, from male to female, which is bad enough, and then from female back to male, which is even worse. But all in the space of a few minutes. Well, no doubt there are several themes here. But once again, we must pass on.